Passion Monday.
Now, from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the program for Friday, June the 14th. Glad you could make it. Hey, by the way, tomorrow's Saturday. Ooh. It's getting difficult to keep things straight. Potpourri of things today that have caught my eye. Not in a good way. For example, on Saturday... just passed, well, last Saturday. That's what I was confused about tomorrow, about LGBT marches. They were last Saturday. These pride marches in the U.S. were disrupted, one by a stampede triggered over fears that somebody, some right-wing Trump-supporting filthy pig, had a gun. And another was disrupted by one of America's biggest neo-Nazi groups. Now, I have to tell you, from what I've read of history, aside from their Nazism, you have to remember the Nazis were Christians to begin with, but aside from their Nazism, a certain number of Hitler's high command were presumed to have been homosexual. So for these pig-fucking American Nazis who are so anti-homosexual, maybe you cretins ought to check out the high command of your own little hero. Huh? Bastards. In Washington, D.C. last Saturday, I didn't hear anything about this. Of course, we were up in the mountains, but seven people were taken to the hospital after fears of a potential gunman at the Pride event caused people to panic. And I guess a number of people were trampled. Hundreds of people were gathered at the DuPont Circle for the parade when people started running after hearing what they thought was a gunshot. Guillermo Rivera, a commander of the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C., said, quote, "As the officers were going to the scene, there was a crowd of people going away from it, and some of the individuals in the crowd said there was a man with a gun and that someone had fired a shot," end quote. The man was taken into custody and is facing a gun possession charge. And the mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, tweeted that she had been briefed by police. And, well, yeah, they arrested somebody with a gun. No shots had been fired. Well, what is it with these Christian pigs that the homosexuality so disturbs them? That's something I can't fathom, unless it's what I've maintained for decades. And the most ardent anti-gay people, men, the most anti-gay men are trying to deal with their own erotic feelings when they think about sex with another man. And if they were brought up Christian, or pretty much brought up anywhere in the United States with the Christian poison that's been pumped into them, then the mere fact that they have these homosexual feelings pretty much dictates that they have to become anti-gay to get that stuff out of them. to get their attraction to men out of them, to get their homoerotic feelings out of them. So they put it out there. They put it over there on folks who make no secret about their homosexuality. They put it, these fearful men, put it on the obviously gay community, and then they can fight it. They can't fight it in themselves. They can't even acknowledge it, most of them, even while they're putting another man's penis in their mouths. They can't accept the fact that just maybe this is the kind of sex they would prefer to have. Crazy shit. So that's the only basis of understanding that I have for the virulent, sick, twisted, anti-gay feelings. I mean, who somebody has sex with, why is that anybody else's business? You know, as long as it's not a kid, a little kid. I mean, if it's adult to adult, I think about all the heterosexual swingers. I don't know if they still exist, but I know back in the 60s and 70s, woo! No, I never participated. A little bit too scary for me. But the swinging, you know, the heterosexual swingers, married people, churchgoers all, who would go fuck around openly with other people's spouses. And, ooh, that was so much fun. Now, there's nothing in the Ten Commandments that says anything about homosexuality, but there is something in the Ten Commandments that says something about committing adultery. You see? You see what I mean? It's so fucked up what the Christian heterosexuals have done. Why the Christians give a rat's ass? Their Messiah never said a word that men shouldn't have sex with other men or women with other women. And like I've always said, the Christian men who are so ardently anti-homosexual are only anti-homosexual about men having sex with men. If it's two women having sex, woo, baby! Those good, solid, church-going Christians love to see that. This is a fucked-up society. You do get that, don't you? Right. Where was I? Elizabeth Hernandez. This is according to the Independent of the U.K., Elizabeth Hernandez, who was 19, was among those celebrating in the city when she said she heard pop, 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 and suddenly barricades were being thrown over and a crowd of people started running frantically from the area. Well, here in the United States, in the year 2019, anybody who hears pop, pop, pop and doesn't start running is not really connected to their own self-preservation, because sure enough, it's going to be some right-wing Nazi fucker who's got a gun, or some white supremacist, or Trump support. Well, they're all the same. Some Trump-supporting Nazi white supremacist is going to be somewhere with a gun. I don't care if that person is 18 or 68. He's going to be killing people in the era of Trump. So if you hear people with a gun, or what you think is a gun, and you don't duck and cover, then you're risking being shot dead by somebody who sees Trump as Jesus' brother. Weird times. Anyway, Ms. Hernandez said, quote, everything fell, the barricades, and everyone said, run! And in Detroit, a majority black city, an armed white supremacist group called the National Socialist Movement. Oh, fuck! You think they're being too subtle about their connections to German Nazism of the 20s and 30s? The National Socialist Movement. A bunch of little bitches, no offense to what normally are referred to as bitches. I just use the term to refer to these little piss ants. All right, let me retract it. A bunch of little piss ants, these white Nazis, who, if they're not armed and in a gang of likewise fucked up people, they're very quiet and try to make themselves invisible. They're all failures. They've never done anything in their life worth a shit. But they get together and get their little guns, say, oh, we hate the queers and the Jews and the liberals, but we love Donald Trump. Miserable bastards. Anyway, members of this group of losers descended on the annual Motor City Pride Festival, where they held placards, gave Nazi salutes, and displayed armbands with swastikas. Yeah. Dressed in black. Ooh. With a number of these little losing fuckers carrying firearms and shields, the Nazis tore apart pride flags and pushed over at least one counter-demonstrator. One of the Nazis even pissed on an Israeli flag. Miserable little fucks who have never done anything and never will do anything except this kind of violent shit, have no meaning in their lives, probably are having sex with their mothers or their sisters or their nieces. A subgroup of these Nazis, I forget what they're called, the ones that can't get sex with women because women see them as the stinking, smelly losers that they are. What are they called? Incel? Yeah, incels. Unintentionally celibate. Because women look at them and say, ooh, goddamn, go take a bath, you ugly fucker, and won't do anything. So they join Nazi groups or they become homophobic because they realize that they'd really rather be having sex with a nice, well-hung man, but they can't handle that. So they become insane like this, which is understandable. There was a tweet that came up Saturday afternoon that said, literally fucking Nazis are at Motor City Pride right now. Please be safe out there, y'all. Y'all. The tweet went on and said, even if they deserve it, do not engage. Our safety of our pride is the most important thing, end quote. And meanwhile, in Poland, which has become virulently anti-gay, those Catholic Christian shitheads in Poland, the Christian Nazis who are now running Poland, are making life almost impossible for gay folk. So in Poland, where Europe's biggest pride parade occurs, which I find gloriously ironic, frankly. That pride parade went ahead without major incident, despite the rising tensions in the country over the rights of gay people. See, in so many parts of the world, and this is pushed by Trump, of course, in so many parts of the world, if somebody is acknowledged, either self-acknowledged or assumed to be gay, then they're not supposed to have any human rights, because how could they be human if they're men who like to be close to another man for sexual enjoyment? How could they possibly be human? So take away their rights, which comes from Christianity, which comes from the Christians. I've said it before, sometimes I wish Jesus would magically return, which would frankly scare the shit out of me. But if Jesus magically returned and said, listen, y'all, I have something to tell you. I'm homosexual. And so is Judas, that dirty bastard. You know, he's just supposed to give me a goodnight kiss, but no, he comes over and does that shit, right? And then the Romans snatched me. Oy! Judas, my buddy, was gay. James was gay. Andrew was gay. Simon was gay. And the rest of them were not gay. Mary Magdalene, and by the way, your painter who made that picture of the Last Supper, that's Mary Magdalene to my right. She wasn't gay. She was, you know, she was having an affair with a couple of my disciples, and she wanted to do me, but I just couldn't get there. You know, I think you understand why. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't the Christians just shit themselves? Especially if this fictional Jesus of mine finished up by saying, so I just wanted to tell you, you know, that of the 13 of us, six of us were gay, including me. But my message is still the same, you crazy bastards. Just because I was gay, until you fuckers executed me, just because I was gay and five of my disciples were gay, and Mary Magdalene was having sex with three of the other ones, so the fuck what? Does that take away from the power of the message I tried to give you people? I have those fantasies sometimes about what would happen if that happened. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, tens of thousands of people, accompanied by diplomats from the United States, Canada, and other Western countries, took to the streets of Warsaw, Poland on Saturday. At a time when the fucked-up fascist Nazi Polish government is depicting the lesbian gay community as a threat. A threat. A threat. Not these dirty fucking Nazi Christians. Oh, they're not a threat. But the gay people who they target are a threat. Isn't that fucking ass backwards? I mean, are gay folk going up to the members of the Polish Nazi ruling party and saying, we're going to urinate on you. You're a threat to decency. No, they're not. It's the other way around. The Polish Christians, the Polish Christian fascists are saying that to the gay folk. What the fuck? In a first, Warsaw's mayor participated in the parade. Oh, shit. Oh, is he going to be so gone so quick? His name is Rafał. Go ahead, Malloy, try to pronounce the Polish name. Strzaskowski. Rafał Strzaskowski. He noted that it is now common for cities across Europe to support pride marches. Mr. Strzaskowski said, quote, not everyone has to go to the equality parade, but everyone should respect minority rights. It is really important for me that Warsaw be open, that Warsaw be tolerant. In the first place, why ghettoize gay people by saying they have minority rights? What the fuck is that? Mr. Zrazkowski, the mayor of Warsaw, we could say he deserves minority rights because there's only one of him. That's a minority. One. Oh, I know he's Polish, so are the gay people in Poland. He's male, so are the gay men in Poland. Why ghettoize gay people or any group by saying they deserve minority rights? Who decides this shit? I'm just rambling on. It's Friday, and I want the fuck out of here, but I've got to, you know. Ooh. Minority rights. And according to the Warsaw city government, about 50,000 people took part in the pride ceremonies. Minority rights. That has to be a term that Americans invented. It has to be. I mean, aren't rights, human rights, just kind of, it goes without saying that they're for everybody? Stop. Stop. Have a sip of coffee. Okay. Here's something that should make your Geiger counters go off. The Trump administration has decided to open up the Grand Canyon for uranium mining. Now, that's not exactly how the story reads at thehill.com. The story reads this way. The Trump administration is signaling. What the fuck does that mean? Metaphor, semaphores, metaphors, semaphore, flags on the deck of a battleship, signaling a renewed push to consider uranium mining near the Grand Canyon. Trump's decision, the Nazi fucking dictator of the United States, his decision to declare uranium a critical mineral for national security purposes. Why? I mean, isn't the primary use of uranium to blow people up and destroy shit in huge numbers? And don't we already have more nuclear, deliverable nuclear death weapons than any nation in the history of the human race? Never mind. We need it for the Space Force, Kathy says. Okay. Okay. Anyway, the Orange Bastards' decision to declare uranium a critical mineral for national security purposes, coupled with a Commerce Department, is that the cabinet position that that little gnomish zombie, what's his name, Ross? Wilbur Ross, that little fucker who looks like he eats corpses, human corpses? Excuse me? Yeah, he looks like Smeagol, but I mean, he looks like he feasts on dead people. Anyway, he recommended that it's time to start blasting holes in the Grand Canyon to get this key component for nuclear weapons. And the Hill says that these decisions that are percolating just below the surface, listen to this, quote, has environmentalists worried that the reversal of an Obama-era ban on mining near the Cherished National Park is imminent. Has environmentalists worried? I'm not defined as an environmentalist, but this has me terrified. Have you been to the Grand Canyon? I have to admit, I haven't been there yet. Kathy and Molly and I went to the top of Pikes Peak. What was that, 15,000 feet? Yeah, we've gone to the top of Pikes Peak, which was really an experience if you're used to breathing sea-level oxygen levels. Woo! Hi. Ooh. Well, that's how it affected me. I had to move very, very slowly. But I haven't been to the Grand Canyon yet. I'm ashamed to admit that. But I have some friends who are just as rooted in America as I am and slightly younger than I am. And they just went the first time this summer, so I don't feel so bad. But I haven't been there yet. Have you been to the Grand Canyon? I've seen all the pictures and the videos. Yes, 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 yes. And I know that the Christian dumb fucks insist that the Grand Canyon was caused by Noah's flood. Oh, my God. Please, please, please. Please, can you people just rapture on the fuck out of here? Oh, my God. Anyway, they insist that the unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, I've seen pictures of the Grand Canyon and videos. And the videos that I really like are the ones like Aerial America. You ever watch that program, Aerial America, where the drone or the helicopter or the Piper Cub, whatever it is, flies over parts of America while the voiceover tells you everything you thought you knew, plus about the area that they're videoing, and flying down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon. Oh, my God, that's really really something. Amber Raimondo, who's the energy program director at Grand Canyon Trust, said, quote, it's not a secret that uranium mining companies have pined after the Grand Canyon for a long time. She adds, the last time there was a uranium price spike in 2007, over 10,000 mining claims were filed. Now, shortly after that, that President Obama, the Kenyan, said, no, no, and it came to a halt. Now, the question is raised about the timing of the reversal of the Obama directive by this orange piece of shit in the Oval Office, because the Grand Canyon is nearing its peak visitation period, you know, in the summer months, where families, especially families with kids, they want to take their kids to show it to them, this wonder, this unique configuration of one part of the earth, unlike anywhere else on the earth. Oh, there are other places just as spectacular, and perhaps even more so, maybe. But there's nothing like the Grand Canyon. So, you know, a lot of families go in the summer. The price of uranium right now also is at its lowest level in more than 10 years. What's the year? This is 2019. When were all the mining claims filed? 2007. What did Obama do after he was elected? Shit canned the whole idea. So the prices went down. There shouldn't be any price on uranium at this point. Fuck uranium. I mean, I know some of it, I guess, some of the components of uranium can be used in nuclear medicine. I get that. But that's not what these mining companies are after. They want it so they can sell it to the companies that make atom bombs. Who makes atom bombs? Or use it as triggers for hydrogen bombs. They're even more fun. The critics of this idea also point to the close relationship between uranium mining industry and the Trump administration. Trump has deals with these companies where he gets a kickback, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's done in a way through Deutsche Bank that nobody could ever figure it out. But Trump is raping the country. He's taking everything that's not nailed down. He is, and his fucked up sons and his disgusting son-in-law and daughter. They're stealing the country blind. They are grifters, con artists, liars, and thieves. Sounds like a Cher song, doesn't it? Then there's this. According to the Hill, opening up mining near the Grand Canyon would also have political implications for 2020, particularly with Arizona becoming a battleground state in races for both the White House and control of the Senate. So far, Democrats have sided with environmentalists in their opposition to mining in the area, with Republicans pointing to the potential for job creation. The annihilation of the human race being explained away by, well, we're creating jobs. Now, the Trump monster indicated in, when was it, 2017, that he was looking at steps to boost uranium production, because Trump wants an unlimited, as sick and ready to die as Trump is, he is. He's a very sick man. You can tell by looking at him lately. Have you noticed? This miserable fuck is degenerating right in front of our eyes. He's bloating up more. You can tell. I can tell. I'm not, you know, I have had no courses in medicine, but I had a couple of courses in biology. Okay, one in biology. And I can look at him and see he's got possibly liver cancer. If not liver cancer, certainly cirrhosis, which you don't have to be an alcoholic to get cirrhosis. You know that. Huh? Don't tell people I can look at Trump and tell he has liver cancer. Why not? Well, anyway, forget Kathy. He either has liver cancer or liver disease of some sort. I also think he's got... when I say liver cancer, it could just be bile ducts that are blocked. But he's a sick man. He's a very sick man, and I think he knows it. All this shit about his executive time, maybe he's getting dialysis. Of course, that's for kidneys. I get that. But I think he's got kidney failure. This is a guy who for 72 years has been pouring salt into his bloated body. He eats fast food that contains more salt in one of those fucking giant cheeseburgers than you and I would probably eat in a month. He's a sick man. Very sick. So maybe he understands that his time is running out and he wants to make sure that he leaves a legacy of destruction and death behind him. Because the only way a person dies securely, I don't give a fuck what the Christians say. The only way, all right, maybe not the only way, but one of the key ways that a person dies comfortable with his or her own death is the full understanding that everybody else is going to die immediately too. Not eventually, immediately. If everybody's going to die, well, fuck it, I don't care. So Trump is doing that. Trump is a coward. He is terrified of mortality, terrified. So if he can leave a legacy of massive death, that will make his own transition easier. Transition from a living, walking lump of disease into a pile of rot. That's his transition. Well, anyway, I digress. That's why Trump is ready to open up the Grand Canyon. Woo! The Commerce Department, run by the little Spiegel zombie, last week took another step by issuing a recommendation to help speed up production of uranium. And so the mining industry is now waiting for one final step, and that is the Orange Monster's decision on whether to approve a filing by the two of the country's top uranium producers. Filing made last January 2018. Those two producers are named Energy Fuels and Ur-Energy. Yeah, really, Ur, you are. Ur-Energy. Ur. whether or not Trump's going to sign off on a petition to enact a 25% purchasing quota for domestic uranium. And I think what that means is an agreement that the U.S. government will purchase at least 25%. That means you and I will. 25% of everything these filthy, murderous fuckers pull out of the ground. Now, the process of uranium mining, I understand. What do I know? But I understand the process of uranium mining is even more deadly than the process of coal mining. But so... deadly schmedly. The Christians will tell you, as soon as we can set the earth on a course for total annihilation, the quicker their baby Jesus will come back, because he'll be so happy. He'll be so happy. Oh, you finally decided to annihilate everybody and everything. Okay, here I come. Brrr. That's what the Bible says. The Trump bastard is expected to announce his decision next month. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't need congressional approval. And according to what I have here, the uranium around the Grand Canyon is considered some of the highest grade in the United States. However, this is why they want that 25% government purchase agreement. The average price of uranium last year was about $30 a pound. In 2007, it was $100 a pound. $30 a pound? Jesus. You can buy hand-raised prime steak that costs more than that. It's very cheap, I guess, right, to destroy a planet. Cheap in terms of the medium of exchange that we all are addicted to, you know, money. Anyway, approval of this petition would benefit a struggling uranium mining company, the struggling uranium mining companies, by forcing the defense industry and the power sector to purchase uranium domestically instead of from foreign sources like Australia and Canada. Sandy Barr of the Sierra Club said, quote, "The companies have been pushing for a number of things to get the prices up, like including uranium in the list of critical minerals. It's definitely an effort by companies like Energy Fuels, which has lands around the Grand Canyon, leases, I'm sure, to get those uranium prices." So that's something that can be looked forward to next month, and that is Trump's filthy, rotten signature on another one of those things where he goes, ee, 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 and shows that, yes, by God, he can still write. Let's take a break. He's a very sick man. As a matter of fact, let me share with you something that was in today's New York Times by Frank Bruni, one of my favorite writers. We'll be right back after the break. Stick around, okay? Okay. Yeah, there's something that Frank Bruni had in the paper on Wednesday that just a moment ago I more or less parroted. Let me share it with you. I love Frank Bruni's writing. This is what he wrote. "There's always an odd tinge to Donald Trump's skin, but I swear it looked even odder the other day, and I doubt it's my television set. It had a new exaggerated flush, as if his heart was racing or beating erratically. He was sweaty, too. I'm not diagnosing anything, just making an observation. And his recall, it's beyond spotty. He said last week that Robert Mueller had so badly bungled his congressional testimony that he had to release a sort of do-over letter clarifying what he'd meant. But Mueller did no such thing. Bill Barr was the one who mucked things up. Trump had mixed up the two, which is something that happens more and more as your mind dulls." I'm merely quoting the literature. "I also wonder, what's with all the private executive time on his daily White House schedule when he's off by himself, unobserved and unobservable? He could be hooked up to a dialysis machine. He could be receiving transfusions. I don't have evidence of either, but who needs proof when you have suspicions? And why should I hold those in check, suspicions, when the president and his enablers make no effort to? In 2016, they sought to sow doubts about Hillary Clinton's physical fitness by honing in on every errant step she took, every bit of exhaustion she flashed, every inscrutable glaze in her eyes or to her eyes. With deft editing of video footage and dire analysis from the likes of Rudy Giuliani, they turned the inevitable wobbles during an excruciating marathon into Weekend at Bernie's. Clinton was a corpse, well, a near corpse, being animated by secretive aides and propped up by Democratic desperation. Vote for her at your peril. Now it's Joe Biden's turn. Trump told journalists on Tuesday, just before he flew to Iowa, where Biden was going to be as well, Trump said, "He acts different than he used to. He looks different than he used to." That this medical rumor mongering has begun so early in the race may be a sign of Republican desperation. My fellow pundits are already turning to a favorite phrase and calling this a dog whistle, but it's unfair to dogs and whistles. It's too generous an assessment, suggesting that Trump's meaning will go over many voters' heads. No, it will go straight into their brains, making them wonder if Biden suffers from some medical condition that Trump and other Washington insiders know about, but that they, the voters, don't. That's Trump's intent. Naked, nasty, and entirely in character. But he might want to keep in mind that the tables can easily be turned, especially on a man who is himself 72 years old, Trump, lives on red meat, relishes fast food, abhors exercise, and tries to deny the ravages of that lifestyle with a necktie that makes a beeline for his knees. You have to hand it to Trump. He's a pot for whom calling the kettle black isn't miscue, but reflex. An attempt to make voters believe that he must not be a pot at all. Not if he's talking this way, so maybe he's a waffle iron? No sooner had Biden emerged as the early Democratic frontrunner than Trump christened him Sleepy Joe and intimated that age had leached the zest from him. Never mind that Biden, at 76, is just 4 years longer in the tooth, than Trump. Trump told reporters in late April, quote, "I look at Joe, I don't know about him, I don't know," end quote. In that same exchange, he also said, quote, "I just feel like a young man. I'm so young. I can't believe it." We can't either. Because like much of what leaves his lips, it's demonstrably false. 72 is not the new 18, even if your penchant for name-calling and tantrums puts you somewhere in the vicinity of 6 or 7. Trump's only standards are double ones, so he can go after Biden's vim just as he skewered Jeb Bush's vigor, while he himself returned home to his own bed on most nights of his 2016 campaign. He retreats to his Florida or New Jersey resort every weekend that he possibly can. And at one memorable summit meeting in Sicily, he rode around in a golf cart while his European peers walked. Could he have a degenerative nerve disorder with ambulatory implications? I'm letting my mind wander. That's what Trump does, after all. That's what his loyalists do, too. As Justin Barragona recently noted in the Daily Beast, the Fox News stars Sean Hannity and Lisa Montgomery have repeatedly made insinuations about Biden's hardiness. with her claiming at one point that Biden's rivals, quote, know there is something wrong with the former vice president, end quote. She didn't explain the basis for that claim or what that vague something might be. Better to let listeners' imaginations bloom darkly. The band of Biden detractors is gelling. Their drumbeat is loudening. Trump said of Biden on Tuesday, quote, I think he's the weakest mentally. I like running against people who are weak mentally. End quote. I bet Biden likes running against people who are weak ethically. He has the privilege of running against the weakest one of all. Frank Bruni, my personal columnist hero, writing at the New York Times last Tuesday. Did you hear that on Wednesday, Trump blasted as fake news and fake polling reports that internal polling, you know, conducted within the swamp that he lives in, showed that he was trailing former Vice President Joe Biden in the 2020 matchup, a hypothetical 2020 matchup, by 13, 14, 15 points. Trump claims that polling within his campaign that showed him trailing are not true. And he said he has, quote, we have the best numbers we've ever had. This filthy fucker will lie about everything, everything. On his deathbed, when the death rattle has already begun, he'll say, oh, I'm in perfect health. Really? A Quinnipiac University poll released Tuesday afternoon showed Trump trailing six prospective Democratic presidential candidates nationally by healthy margins. Is it Quinnipiac? I think it is. Whatever. Trump just couldn't take that. So he tweeted, the fake news has never been more dishonest than it is today. Thank goodness we can fight back on social media. Their new weapon of choice, and he spells their, T-H-E-R-E, their new weapon of choice is fake polling, sometimes referred to as suppression polls because they suppress the numbers. This is how the president of the United States spends his time. Ah, fuck it, you know that. He went in another tweet, he added, the fake, and then in parentheses, corrupt news media said they had a leak into polling done by my campaign, which, by the way, and despite the phony and never-ending witch hunt, are the best numbers we have ever had. They reported fake numbers that they made up and don't even exist. We will win again, all caps. And he issued a similar criticism Tuesday when he was asked about a New York Times report that he had instructed his aides to lie. Lie, you little fuckers. Lie about this internal polling that shows him trailing Biden. Oh, God help us, Biden. In key states. Describing the surveys that have him performing poorly in toss-up states as fake, he said, my poll numbers are great! What a sick motherfucker. I mean, Jesus, God. Trump often refers to polls during the 2016 campaign that showed him trailing Hillary Clinton when he speaks to supporters at rallies this year in 2019. And granted, all the polls had Hillary Clinton ahead. And she was ahead. She did win by 3 million votes. But we don't have direct elections in the United fucking States. And I fault the Hill for not putting that in here. She was ahead. The polling was correct. But we have the Electoral College. They don't poll the electors. If the electors would have been polled, Hillary would not have been ahead. And while the polling showed Hillary Clinton ahead, the Russians and the Trump operatives were working diligently in Florida, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, Ohio, to steal votes, change vote totals, do anything to get this monstrous fucker elected. And they succeeded. So the polls that showed Hillary ahead were correct. Trump, on Tuesday, reminded everybody that his official kickoff rally for his reelection begins next week in Orlando. And he said he had already received tens of thousands of ticket requests beyond the venue's capacity. Of course he has. Absolutely he has. Oh, Christ, what a week. All right, folks, I will see you Monday. I hope. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malone. I'm going straight to hell. I'm going straight to hell. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy. Straight to hell.